Hey Zen friends, welcome to Crazy Zen Life. I'm your host, Brittany Swan.
And I'm your host, Shannon Kessler. Join us as we navigate life on and off our yoga mats.
Hey, we're back, Crazy Zen Life.
Yay! We are super excited to talk to you guys today about some topics that come up quite often, not just between the two of us, but between a lot of friends and moms that we know and other yogis.
But we're fresh coming off spring break. Woo! I know. Yeah. So depending on when you're listening to this, you all understand coming off spring break is...
Yeah.
We're all holding our eyelids open a little bit farther.
You kind of go down that hole of like, you know, let the kids do what they want. They can have a little more sugar than we normally let them have. They don't really need to have a vegetable every meal. It's fine.
Yes.
So we're fully prepared for the revolt to happen in the morning of, you know, you go back to school.
No, we're not doing it. Have you ever thought about like the two different meanings of break and break?
Yes.
And I'm like, why do they have such polarizing meanings? And like, it's because of spring break, because it breaks you, but you get a break.
It's true.
it's just two things. You're like, okay,
yes,
all right.
I am officially spring broken.
Yes.
Spring break. Yes.
I cannot be put it back together. I am a Humpty Dumpty mom. Yeah. We can't piece it together. I know. I did take a break. I took a major break from all the things.
Yes.
Except for online shopping. I blew it out.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. That's, I feel like when you do have some downtime, like it goes deep. Like you're like, this is a website I've never discovered before. And I'm going to take the time to check it out. Because normally you're like, nope. Keep it moving. Gotta go.
I don't need that. It's like, it's just Amazon, paper towels, you know, keep going. But this week I was like, oh, what I lacked in laundry, I made up on my credit card. I'm like, it's awesome.
It's great.
Don't worry. I mean, I bought like a carpet runner. Like, it's just funny. Like a runner of carpet. Like, I was like, I need this because it was on sale.
Where are you going to put that?
At the garage store.
Okay.
It's just a new snazzy one. It was $50. And I was like, yes.
This is great.
Damn you, guilt. Yeah. So we have a great show today. It's all about making excuses.
Yes. I feel like we all do it. Sometimes some do it more than others. But yeah, excuses. They're plenty and they're easy, which is I think why people make them. So let's chat about that.
Yes. And living in that uncomfortable zone of doing things that are always harder than normal, and you know, and why we gravitate towards easy. I mean, that's kind of an easy thing to do. So we're going to talk about different pivotal points of excuses, and then maybe some helpful tips that we can all do together. Again, we are not experts, but we always just claim to like, these are things that we would like to do better, or we have done and we've seen success.
Absolutely.
In some of these. Yeah. So
I do think that what kind of propels me forward is the power of a want. Like if I want to make something happen, it's going to happen. If I don't want to do it, it ain't getting done.
No.
So that's the power of your want has to be what motivates you in either direction. And I think for a lot of people, like health and wellness is one of those topics that gets uncomfortable for people. So whether they're like, oh, I can't run a marathon because I have bad knees. Okay. Or I can't lose the weight because I don't want to join a gym. Okay.
Well, okay.
These are excuses. I mean, let's be honest about what they are. And
I can't start that different health plan because I'm going on vacation in 2 months.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a point where it does have to become a lifestyle change, and you don't have to change your life overnight.
I mean, right.
It's convenient if you can, but I don't know many people that can do that. So it starts with small steps, obtainable goals. And it's amazing what you can do when you just put one foot in front of the other.
Right.
And you can achieve it. I mean, when it comes to people who are, you know, with I need to lose the weight, or I've got 5 more pounds to lose, or whatever it is. Okay, well, what's holding you back? Like, why are you making the excuse that you can't do it? Because it's hard? Well, yeah. I mean, you're going to have to do things that push you out of your comfort zone to get to the next level. That's how it works. You don't get anywhere just by being comfortable your entire life. That's not how growth happens. Like no. growth happens in the uncomfortable moments, and you gotta just push through it, make it happen.
Yeah. For the health and wellness, I remember feeling very like I wanted to make a change. It was probably right after I gave birth to Watson, or maybe a little bit before that. Took a real kind of evaluation of, okay, I think we could do better. But I knew I can't do this just by diving all in and like gutting the pantry and we're going to drink smoothies every day and rice and broccoli and chicken. Like that just would not, it would be intimidating and then we would all fail.
Right.
So it did take, like you just said, the small little steps of the health and wellness. And that's one way that I grew tremendously. So I started small by, okay, instead of buying Hamburger Helper, which I did and which I still love. I mean, if I could find a way to eat Hamburger Helper and still live in my nice little healthy world, then that would be great. I miss it. But, you know, you can make your own kind of thing. But yeah. Anyways, the long story, instead of buying that, I made something that was more healthy, you know. So, or instead of buying a canned vegetable, make it fresh. It was like these small things. And yeah, driving in your car right now or listening is like, yeah, duh, Brittany. But in my mind at that time, those were huge.
Right. Yeah.
And so, and then that just kept perpetuating this honest growth within me and then within my family. And now we live a completely different healthy lifestyle than.
Sure. And how long do you think that took you to make that switch?
It was a solid, I would say 18 months, like yeah. to really. And then, but through that, I grew more educated in different ways. And then I became a better cook.
Right.
And then it just kept going. So yeah. You unravel all of these different things through that. So sure. I don't know about your health and wellness.
Yeah, no. And that's for me, I've always been someone who really enjoys cooking. And I mean, I've always gravitated toward a healthier eating lifestyle. I mean, I can remember being in college buying salmon and broccoli at the grocery store and the guy checking out was like, is this yours?
Are you sure you're in college?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
Like, yeah.
That's for me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love French fries. Like, that's like my favorite vice, like on the planet. That's my jam.
They're so tasty.
But I prefer to eat healthy. That's just the way I feel like I'm programmed. And that's, so I feel like that's kind of been an easy switch, but mm-hmm. that's not, it doesn't make it easy.
I mean, whereas I would eat like a truck driver.
Yes, this is a true story. Brittany Swan has Slim Jims. She went more plant-based. But she would go to a gas station and she would load up on.
Don't give me that fancy shit.
No.
No, I want like Slim Jim, like with the weird casing, probably been on the shelf since like 1992. It's awesome.
Yes, it's great. So I do, but I think that it does come in stages. I mean, like I'll give you an example. My husband, Dan, lost 50 pounds.
It was amazing.
3 years ago and has kept it off, which is fantastic. And I'm so proud of him. But that wasn't easy for him because it was a lifestyle change. Like he was very used to eating fast food at lunch. And I knew when he came home for dinner, like I knew what he was eating because I was making it and I knew it was good. So I'm like, it doesn't happen at home. Like it's the choices that you make when you're not here that are sabotaging your health journey. And mm-hmm. we need to look at that. And this is a real problem. So, you know, we had,
but you couldn't hold his hand through it.
Right. And I'm like, listen, I can make all your food for you, but that's not making the change happen. That is you falling back into convenient patterns. And that's what it is. Like you have to make the active choice that when it is in front of you, do you want a salad with chicken and fresh vegetables? Are you going to have a double cheeseburger? Mm-hmm. I can't make that choice for you. You know the right and wrong answer. You have to make that choice. So for him, it was a lifestyle change and it was, you know, it was hard. But the more he started to eat healthy, the more he continued to want to eat healthy.
Right.
And I think that it just takes one healthy decision during your day. Like if you start your day with, you know, fresh fruit and maybe some scrambled eggs over a donut or a sugary cereal, you're way more inclined to make a better choice for your snack and you're much more inclined to make a great choice about lunch. But if you start your day off with a bad choice, the bad choices just seem to keep happening.
That is true.
Yeah.
But if you do make that bad choice, you can start over your day.
Right, exactly.
Your day can always start over even at 6 p.m.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yes. I sometimes live in my world like that too.
Yeah,
like,
no, oh, for okay. sure. Yeah.
We started over.
We're going to start over.
Yeah, we did not have chocolate chip pancakes today. No, yeah,
it's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
And, trust me. And you know what? You hit a trigger word for me, which was inconvenient. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely like love this word sometimes because you've got to do stuff that are inconvenient for you, for your lifestyle to yes. make it better. And that is a great word.
Yes.
It's inconvenient.
Like there's so many decisions. There's so many things that will happen in your life where this is a great example. You're stuck in traffic and you're like, oh, this is ruining my day. It's not ruining your day. It's just an inconvenience. You're going to get over it. You're going to get through the traffic. It's
going to happen. Turn on Crazy Zen Life Podcast.
Right.
Episode 3.
And laugh your ass off.
Yes. Yes.
So, you can get through it. You just have to be able to acknowledge, is this truly a pain in my ass situation or is this an inconvenience?
Yes.
There's a difference.
That's been a big trigger word. Only two because it's also when you're inconvenienced, you're really pressured to like show up for other things and you're like, oh, and you really gauge about where you want to be right then.
Yes.
You're like, this is not what I want to be. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I finally made it. You know, that's what I'm
doing. Oh, that's so true. Because I think that that's a great, your attitude towards those things will dictate, how you show up to a situation.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. Like if you're like, oh, this is so inconvenient. I don't want to be here. Your energy when you walk in that room is like, I don't want to talk to her. Like she seems like she's got a lot going on.
She's Debbie Downer. I'm just gonna let her
do her thing on that side of the room, and I'm gonna go. But if just you walk into a room and you're happy to be there, and you're like, "Yes, this is where I'm supposed to be right now," people will flock to you.
I've crossed hell and back, and grandma's right. house, and the bridge, and like the wolf, and the basket, like all of it. You know, once you've been there, you're like, "Yes." So being inconvenienced. That's a great one. That's a great one.
Yeah, that goes. I think a lot with the health and wellness, like. There's nothing about starting a new journey that's convenient in the beginning. Like you can make things convenient. Like you can meal prep and you can, establish routines and you can make those things happen and they become convenient. But you've got to be aware and you've got to be willing to embrace the inconvenience in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. It's inconvenient to establish consistency. That's
a good one. Yes.
Write that down. Just kidding. You know, it's just really, really funny to hear all the truth bombs that we just discovered through ourselves. Yeah. Like we're listening, you're like, oh, that's a good, oh, wow. That's oh, God. Let's write that down. Yeah. So, yes, health and wellness is huge for Shannon and I. And something that occurred to me as we were wrapping up our little pre-podcast meeting was also like when you show up on your mat too, that's really hard. Sometimes I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I've made a shit ton of excuses of why I can't.
Yes. It's too loud in my house. If I'm going to have a home practice, I don't want to do it.
My dog is bothering me, honestly, he does. He doesn't bother me any part of the day, but it's like whenever I'm mad out, he's like, hold on.
Let me sit on that.
Yeah.
No.
He's like, oh.
Georgia girl, if you ever watch any of my Instagram, like she is always all up in my yoga practice and she's like, oh, you're going to put your mat out? We're going to do yoga, mom? This is great. I'll be right here. Like,
yeah. Okay, I'll be right here. My ass is going to be in your face.
All.
I'm like, does it like, right. I guess it signifies like, oh, you're going to be in down dog? Me too.
Me too. They named it after me. You know that, right?
And I'll get like this weird side eye from Baron like, what? I'm in your way?
I'm always on the floor, mom. Why are you here?
Yeah. I was like, I'm sorry. This big black baked potato of a dog. It's like, I've got to like step over. Yeah. So, so make a ton of excuses to not show up on our mat too. And that is completely okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's fine, but really maybe thinking of why it is inconvenient, maybe embracing the little inconvenient to find some consistency, which is something I need to do better at. So I'm just honestly not saying this just to the world, just to myself too. Yeah.
Go say it out loud.
Put it out there.
And amazing things happen.
Put it out there. Yes. So, we do make excuses in health and wellness. And I do hear a lot about it's a trigger word for us, but not saying diet.
Right.
But it's how we also travel to the plant-based.
Yes.
So what were some of your successes into doing so? Because it is kind of like, oh, my gosh, I've got to take on this huge.
I think for me, a lot of it came because we did it together. And it was like I had someone that was helping and like the accountability of being like, well, you know, Brittany's going to do it. And we have another friend, Elizabeth. And, you know, we all decided we were going to take this journey together. And we had a great mentor in our friend, Talita, who will be a guest on our show soon. So very excited for you guys to hear more from her. But she was really instrumental in helping us kind of create like a plan of, you know, like if you have questions, here's my website or here's, you know, an email that has, you know, a bunch of things in it. So you can, there was always like a reference point, but I think the most beneficial was the fact that we did have each other mm-hmm. to, you know, be accountable with it. And I think it helps when you do go through something with a friend, like
so helpful.
I know for me, like I get, recipe burnout. Like I'll find a recipe and I will eat that thing like for 2 weeks straight and I love it. And then I get burnt out and I'm like, oh wait. But again, it goes back to it's convenient because I know how to make it. Mm-hmm. I know what the ingredients are. I know how long it takes.
You can go to the grocery store, describe
it. Exactly. And I know that it's one of those things like in my house, like if everybody eats it, we'll eat it all the time.
Yes.
Because like I hate like loathe dinner when I've, you know, spent an hour cooking and then I've got, you know, one asshole who's like, again, we're having this again.
Yes.
What do you mean we're having this again?
We're having this again.
Yes, we're having this again. It's good for you and it's delicious and you ate it like all week. So come on, one more day. It's fine. Yeah.
I know. There's just, it's, yeah. And yes, Talita was instrumental into making it more accommodating
mm-hmm.
because she's a badass athlete and she trains for Olympics. And yes, we will have her on very soon. And everyone will be super inspired by her, but she's been vegan since like before vegan was cool.
Yeah.
Like before it all, like 1998, she took it. She's been taking it strong and she makes it so doable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just mess up, who cares? You have the next day. And it was so eye opening. But one thing that I remember doing too, I knew going in where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
So I knew that it wasn't going to be 100% this way, 100% that way. I knew where I can't live in this world of black and white. I like gray. And so having those and being open to, you know, if you do fail, which we talked a lot about before our podcast too. Opening into those failures.
Yeah. Because I think kind of dipping into that a little bit, the most people when they make an excuse, it's because they are afraid to fail. And the fear of failure can result in the failure to live because you are afraid if you try and you don't succeed, then you're considered a failure. And there's this judgment that comes around that, you know, you look at other people who are looking at you and you get afraid of that. Mm-hmm. And I think there comes a point in your life where you're just like, I no longer care what other people think. And it's a very freeing point when you get there. And if you haven't gotten there yet in your life, it's okay. It's coming. But when you do get there, you're just like, oh, man, this is so great because you can fail and you can fail and over and over and over again. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. And you have to know that you're not defined by your failures, nor are you defined by your success. Like it's just a matter of where are you going to take this and how are you going to handle what life throws at you? Because that's truly, if you fail, is it something that you're like, oh, I'm a piece of shit now. I can't do this. Well, no, use your failure as a learning tool. Like, okay, cool. Well, what lessons did I learn from this? If you didn't learn anything from that, okay, well, then that's a sad situation. But there's always something to learn from every obstacle that you face in your life and every failure that you encompass. And know that you have it in you to fail and you have it in you to succeed. Both of those things you are capable of doing.
I agree with that 100%. Because I was just telling Shannon before this, like that is somewhere that I call it the failure to launch.
Yes.
Because I will overthink everything in life, like in certain realms. And so especially like with career and goals and doing something, I'm like, oh, you know, it's not perfect here or someone might judge me here or it doesn't look like so-and-so's. I'm getting better at releasing that and mm-hmm. coming to terms. But yeah, it still takes me every day. I get really hung up on the looks and the what I think it should be. But yeah, that's why I think like the podcast has been so great for me. So it's like those small little instrumental goals to work towards something just greater and having that accountability of a friend. And it's been really eye-opening for me to, I'm like, yes, you know, putting yourself out there and enjoying the messiness of not having this perfect project. Because nothing's ever going to be exactly perfect.
No, perfect doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like it's an expectation. And I think that this is funny because I feel like yoga has taught me a lot about not attaching myself to objects, but also expectations. Like I create these false expectations in my head or how I, you know, think things are supposed to go. But in reality, you have to let that go. And you can't attach yourself to that because when it doesn't happen that way, then that's when you start to look at yourself as, I failed at this, or I'm not good enough, or this doesn't meet my expectations on, you know, so many levels. So if you just don't attach yourself to that expectation, you're going to be living a way more truer life and in a realm where you feel a lot more happy in the choices that you make.
Yes. So not just practicing non-attachment in your closet.
Right. But actually.
And letting go in that pair of jeans, but also non-attachment to, the things that you hold on to, and it can be imperfect.
Right.
Yeah,
like and that. It's, like even if you're starting a new health and wellness journey, or if you want to dive into a different lifestyle of a plant-based lifestyle or the keto lifestyle, it's knowing that you can fail over and over again in all of that. As long as you get back up and you try it again, it's okay.
Like, you don't. How much education you. And think about all the education that you learn from that. Like, ooh, man, that cottage cheese was not really right what I wanted to eat. You know, whatever. I'm talking on the keto diet. Yeah. But, you don't have to execute perfectly every day.
No.
That's boring, anyways.
Right. I mean, that's exhausting.
Exhausting.
Get to it.
So, another, health and wellness, we definitely talked about. And we also thought about just. So if we're thinking about a triangle.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle of excuses.
So we're kind of like going all around it. We're Amelia Earhart. We won't get lost in the middle. Don't worry, guys.
Sucked into the excuse triangle.
So we also thought about relationships and the excuses we make around our relationships, either having them, not having them, the people that we're with. And it can be a black hole of excuses too.
Absolutely. I feel like that's an exhausting one, just, and I know for me, I've kept people in my life before because I thought that was it. Like, we met years and years ago, and I thought, this is my best friend. I can't possibly let her go. But realizing that relationship was super toxic, and,
it's not
serving me, and I wasn't serving her. And this was a bad idea. It's just time to let that go. It's just
checking the boxes.
Just check that box. Yeah. And if you're just checking boxes with people in your life, you really need to reevaluate that relationship,
right?
Because you are making excuses on why you need to keep them there instead of finding reasons to just do better and let them go. Like, you're both going to be better off if you aren't making excuses on why they have to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it Lady Gaga who's like, give me one reason? I got a million reasons to...
Yeah, give me one. we've always talked about too, we switched on our Zen Friends.
Yes.
Podcast, which you can revisit that one at a later date if this is your first time visiting. We've really dive into that. You can pick the lane where your friends want to be, but also knowing when you do have to pull back, not make excuses if it's not aligning to where you need to be in a relationship, and really taking the time to evaluate that, being in that hard place. And having hard conversations, I think that is a part of human growth, man.
Yes.
That is some place that my husband and I kind of live. And it has been so groundbreaking. And that is always the number one. So, when you go to baby showers or wedding showers or engagement showers, they're like, what's your one piece of advice? And that is the number one thing I always put down. I'm like, have the hard conversations.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Let's go to bed angry. I mean, I go to bed angry all the time. I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm like, I can't and you, other people might disagree with me, but I like to sometimes embrace the anger, because then it gets me why am I so angry? Why am I drawing attachment to this anger? And then it's usually me.
Yeah.
Me holding on to it. My husband's not done anything wrong. But we have all these really hard conversations, and we are so much better because of it. And they're not pretty, y'all.
Oh, gosh. No.
And no. We don't make excuses about where we are. So I don't want to say to him, I'll have that conversation after we get back from vacation. Or it's not a good time because he has a project due. Or, the kids have this going on. It's just not a good time for us.
Yes.
No.
You have to live in real time.
Yes.
And
it happens now.
The more you put it off, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but if I'm like, no, I'll have this later, then it festers.
Oh.
And I start making up these crazy scenarios in my head of all right, if this conversation happens, this is how I'm going to respond. And then this person responds this way. And then when the actual real conversations happen, I'm like, well, that's not how it was going in my head.
Or you're filling in his blank and he's getting angry. He goes, you're putting words in my head. I'm like, no, I'm not. You would have responded like this if I didn't say it. He's like, we'll never know. I know.
Yeah.
It's like you're arguing with yourself.
Oh, for sure. Which 9 times out of 10, it's an issue that I have. So that true. is a trigger point for me for something, and he didn't even know he's walking into it.
No.
And I'm like, my bad. No. I probably should have warned you.
It's like one
word. There's like landmines on the floor today. Just be careful. Like, I don't know where you're going to step, buddy. I don't know.
It's like Minesweeper. It's just like, a shit you have show. No I'm idea. So sorry. Don't step there. Don't step there. Right.
But no, I agree with you. I think having those conversations, like, I don't like having them in the moment, but I'm always thankful after they're done because I just feel better. I mean, and I'm not someone, I can't go to bed angry because again, it festers, it sits in my brain, and I have a hard time shutting my brain off at night anyway.
Right.
So if it's in there, like, it's got to go. Like,
that's true.
And I will keep him up. I'm like, listen, nope, I ain't done.
That's okay. Lana's like, no, we got to clear this out. And he'll drag some stuff up from like 1992, you know, like, yeah. And I'm like, no, I can't, you know,
we're not there today.
It's 11 o'clock and I got to, but that's what I love him for because he wants to continue that. And like, he forces me sometimes into it. So it's a give and take. And I think that's like, and not every relationship is going to be like that. But as long as you're willing to go the extra mile. This is friendships, significant other, whatever may have you. This is, it's basically conveying how you want to be loved too. If you think about it like that,
That's a great point.
And because through all that, all you're explaining to that your counterpart is, this is what I need from you, and in turn, you're going to hear what they need from what you need to receive. You know, get back. So let's just, if you think about it like that, like being as the team, what we've talked about, it's all going to end up okay.
Yeah. No, I agree. And again, just you guys are on the same team. I mean, you play for the same team. Your end goal is the same. There's no need to try to out-compete with each other because at the end of the day, you're on the same team.
Right. And don't live your life to serve the other person. Also convey, like, that's where, you know, I think sometimes women may be, which is kind of hard. Because like, you want to self-please, so you make excuses for that other person.
Yeah.
They're really busy. They've got this going on.
Yes. You do make
they
a lot of excuses.
They do this. They do that. So, and that's perfectly okay to understand their side, but also know like what they need to give from you.
Yeah.
In reverse. And
I mean, it's a two-way street. Like, I mean, I think relationships can be really tricky because I don't think both people will come with the same set of, you know, goggles on looking at the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's, so again, just making sure you're on the same page and being like, what are we trying to get out of this? Like, what is, at the end of this conversation,
where did you see it going?
Right. What do we want to say that we accomplished from this? So I think that you're right. I mean, just being able to have those hard conversations will always benefit a relationship. Because even if it doesn't end up like the way you thought, at least you know. Because
at least you fought your way through it.
Yes. I've had this quote for, I don't know, since I was in high school, and I love it. I'd rather do and regret than regret not doing.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stand to like not do something because I can't take the, what if I would have done it this way? Like, you can't live your life in that what if world because that what if scenario was never going to happen. Like, the path you took and the choice you made was always the choice you were going to make.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. That's it. I mean, you can make yourself crazy trying to think, well, what if this happened this way? I'm like, well, girl, it didn't. So stop. Like, you're wasting a lot of energy on that.
We're getting a little picture of your like high school yearbook, what the quote that you had written under it.
Right. Well, it's very insightful.
Standing with her like white eyeliner and.
Oh, girl.
Just kidding.
That didn't happen until college.
I know, mine too. Awful white eyeliner. We're going to bring it back. No. That does not look good on anyone who.
No.
So, yes, we make a ton of excuses in health and wellness relationships. And then I think at the crux of it all is overall lifestyle, career, and. If we want to link some kids in there, it's probably goes hand in hand.
I think that like you make excuses for your kids, like as parents, you know, like, oh, she's just having a bad day, or oh, he's just being a boy. So yes,
my trigger. Yeah. I can't say anything. He's just a boy. No, he's a human.
He's human first,
and he doesn't need to be an asshole.
Right.
It's not. Let's just not check that box. That oh well, he's a boy. He's going to be an asshole. I'm like no.
Mm-mm.
No.
And like I have two girls, so like when like, oh, you know, she's supposed to be sweet. No. My kids are spicy, and that's okay. Like, they don't need to be this docile creature that, you know, like just because they're supposed to, you know, play nice with everybody in the playground, which they do play
they
nice.
They do.
But
they do really well.
My kid, like, I've always been the parent of, listen, you're not always going to want to play with every person you don't have to, you know, not include them, but you mm-hmm. don't have to, if someone's like, no, I want to play Barbies right now, but you want to go play, you know, dinosaur diggers with your friends, it's okay to say no to the Barbie girl. Like, it's yeah. okay. Like, don't feel like you have to always just stop what you're doing and play what someone else wants to play. You can be, you need to be nice about it and you need to be kind about it, but you don't always have to play what someone else wants you to play.
Yeah. I'm girls okay don't always have to be these right. nice little. These,
yes, ma'am. Like the please disease. Like, I'm not trying to put that on my kids mm-hmm. at any age. Like, don't do anything that's just so that you can please people and they can give you a smile and say thank you. Like that. No.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's a probably trigger for you. Yeah. Having those girls. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want. I mean, sometimes my kids are going to be assholes.
Yes.
But that's every kid's an asshole.
Yeah. And I saw that or heard this a long time ago and I loved it. And it was like some comedian who was like, listen, if your 3-year-old is throwing a temper tantrum because they're not putting on their shoes and their socks and they're making the entire group late, they're an asshole. Which is true. If any of my adult friends was not putting on their shoes and making a spectacle, I'm like, I need a to-go cup. I need a roadie
snack. Not that cup.
Not that cup, mom.
I don't like that cup. Not the pink cup.
I want the blue. In the car. We got to go. You were making the group late over these crazy ass situations you got going on. Get your shoes on and let's go.
Ruby Jane the other night with the dessert.
Oh,
she was being an asshole.
She was being an asshole. Yes. My oldest daughter wanted ice cream and we didn't have ice cream in the house and she pouted. I mean, she literally sat in the pantry and pouted.
Pouted.
Because we didn't have ice cream. I'm like, dude, I can't.
They did have ice cream. It wasn't the ice cream up to her part.
It wasn't the type that she wanted.
Yes.
I mean, God forbid, we don't have your ice cream in the house.
Right.
Ready to go.
So then I make the ultimate mistake and say.
Well, wait. She found a dessert that she was like, okay, I'm going to eat. She found the chocolate ice cream that was, it's coconut ice cream, which she's like, I'm up to this. Like, she's not fully on the non-dairy ice cream train.
Oh, my kids so are. They've bought into it. So they don't even know it anymore.
No. They're like, mine are like, this isn't real. This came from a nut.
You're a nut.
It did. And it's delicious.
But
it's
she took all of the ice cream.
Yes.
We're diving down deep here. But this is crucial here because she took all of the ice cream. So then I say, I might have some popsicles at my house. Remember, guys, we live next door to each other. So I thought I was going to be able to run home. She heard said popsicle agreement and then immediately grew remorse over her decision. Right. It's like buying that bad sweater. You're like, damn it, should have bought it. I invested in it. I'm here. Mm-hmm. She made the poor purchase. So she was there and she pouted. She was being an asshole.
She was being
an asshole. And we were not making excuses for her.
No.
We were like, no, you made the wrong choice. Right,
you decided this was the ice cream. This was the dessert of choice. And even though you didn't 100% want it, you went in anyway.
Oh.
So now this is the decision. You made the decision and here you are.
And 3 adults.
Right.
We're battling. Well, not. I was laughing, but Shannon had checked out. But Dan, her husband, was invested in it, and it was really entertaining. And I still just high five Dan for staying strong, and he almost lost it.
He did.
I think if I wasn't there, he might have.
But
it was one of those pivotal moments. I was like, yes, Dan, hold strong. Dude, you got this. You got this.
Don't
wait,
buddy.
You got this. You got because she can wear you down.
Yeah. She's my headstrong. She's the first child. She is, I mean, type A. She is definitely the persona of the first child. And
yes.
But when she sets her mind to something, watch out.
Yeah.
I mean, this girl's going to make it happen.
I love it.
I do.
She's conquer the world.
Yes.
Conquer the world, but
it's just
not with coconut
now,
ice cream.
Right, not with coconut ice cream. She's like, no.
She's over it.
It comes to my nut. No, it's not a nut, but that's fine.
Mom, does it come with the big trigger words in our house? She's like, is this from a nut or grass?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what have I ever given you that's grass? Except like one time.
I had you try wheatgrass one time and I'll never live it down.
I mean, God forbid. So if we circle back around.
So sorry.
Rabbit hole. But we didn't make excuses for her assholeness.
No.
And they are.
No.
And that's okay. And I think that's, live in those spaces to where your kids are not going to be perfect. I think it's a great place to be.
And don't, like, if you're a parent and you're at someone else's house, you don't have to put the caveat of like, oh, in her defense, it's okay. You don't have to defend mm-hmm. them. Like, I get it. I'm a parent. I understand. And I know. But you making excuses for your kids doesn't make it any better. Like, it's just, okay, it's cool. This is where we are. But the less excuses you can make for your kid, the better you're both going to be off in your relationship, because mm-hmm. you're going to put it out there. You're going to be able to deal with it. And you're not going to have to put it in a box and deal with it later. Just, we always say, like, we want to deal with things in real time. Mm-hmm. Like, even, like, in my own business, and, like, if a customer's unhappy or whatever it is, you deal with it in real time. Don't let them leave if they're unhappy. Talk about it, and because you can fix it when you're there.
Oh, yeah.
But if you leave, or if they leave or whatever, then you're like, well, I don't know when we're going to fix this. You know, like, mm-hmm. then it's just up to them. And you don't ever want to leave it up to them. You want to be the one to kind of, you know, control that narrative and help that along.
Because it spreads like wildfire.
Exactly. And it's not just like in a business setting, but it's a kid setting too. Like, if you can control the narrative when it happens and you can deal with it in real time, then you're like, okay, this was the example of, let's try this in a different way mm-hmm. versus, you know, being crazy.
I like that. Yes, so we touched on health and wellness and relationships. Mm-hmm. And so career and life. So this is where Shannon does just shine, because she's an entrepreneur. She has some great little truth bombs that she dropped on me before we had the podcast today. And she was, when we had a little coffee meeting or smoothie meeting.
Smoothie.
And hashtag basic.
Right.
But it was just, so I definitely want you to share a lot of those, because those were really instrumental with, like, even me as a person who does hold back from that, like, like I said earlier, failure to launch. So I want you to share some of those.
Well, I think for me, like, again, I go back to that, the quote of, you know, fear of failure can result in a failure to live. And I don't want to live in a place where I'm super scared to fail, because I'm not afraid of failure, because I don't think failure defines me. I find lessons in failure. I understand it's going to happen, but I never find excuses on why I can't do something. I find reasons on why I can. And it may happen where the timing might not be right in some aspects, where I'm like, you know what, maybe not right now. But that doesn't mean that I'm making an excuse not to do something. That is me looking at something being like, I want to do this. I just know that this isn't my time. And I'm mm-hmm. going to come back to it when the time is right. And I'm going to make this happen. But like for me and my business, like, there have been many of things that I have failed at that I'm like, good Lord, that was a terrible mistake. And I look back on it now and I'm like, I am so glad that I made those mistakes, because it made me a better person. It made me a better entrepreneur. It made me a better mom. It made me a better wife. It made me a better friend. Like, all of these things that I look at, like, these obstacles weren't things that were bigger than me. I just learned to overcome them. And doesn't mean that I'm singing, you know, show tunes and dancing in rainbows when they happen, because I'm not. Like, there are nights where, you know, I'm crying my eyes out on my, you know, closet floor and having meltdowns and breakdowns. But again, I'm not afraid to be in those spaces anymore. I mean, there was a long time where I was, but mm-hmm. I do think even with Primp, you know, it has pushed me far beyond any comfort zone I thought I could ever be in. And I'm okay with that. Like, I've gotten to a point where the uncomfortable is okay. And it's expected. Like, I just, as soon as I start to get, like, comfortable in my, you know, driver's seat with my business, I feel like, don't get too comfortable there, Shannon, because something big's about to happen. Right. You know, and it's about how you respond to things. And again, it's learning how to deal with things in real time and not tabling everything because mm-hmm. you're not ready to deal with it.
Because sometimes you'll never be ready.
You'll never be ready.
It's like having kids. You're never going to be
ready.
You're
never going to be ready.
Yes.
You just have to deal.
It's going to be inconvenient.
And so it's always going to be inconvenient.
And one thing that Shannon does really, really well, and as you get to know us, you'll learn this. She's a big yes person, but only on her time. And then one thing that I've learned, and I won't give it the exact example that I know, but I do. There's like a couple that have popped up here and there recently where you're like, okay, I'm only going to say yes to this again if XYZ happens, like an event or this or that. Like she, mm-hmm. you know, you learn from your mistakes, but only through that failure, you're like, okay.
Yes.
I'm hip to your game now.
Right.
I'm going to do it this way next time.
Yeah, exactly.
And so only through launching will you gain the knowledge.
Yes.
From the failure.
To do it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And again, that's why I don't think failure is a bad thing, because I learned from it. Like, I'm not stuck in a place of compliancy of like, I'm complacent here. Is this where I know? Is this where I'm going to stay? That's not for me. Like, I'm not that person. Like, I want to grow. I want to expand. I want to keep looking because that's what I enjoy. So that's, you know, those are my Shannon truth bombs for being an entrepreneur.
I love all the truth bombs. And with going along with that, probably one last thing to tack on to that is, so Shannon does say yes a lot.
Yes.
But when she says no, it's a definitive no because no is a
complete sentence.
Right.
Yes.
That has taken me 35 years to learn. And I have absolutely loved the art of saying
no.
Nope.
Yeah.
And can then, I do this? And then it's crickets. No. Yeah. There's no.
You don't have to explain yourself. Yes. You don't have to give, you know, this dissertation on why you came to know.
No.
No is a complete sentence.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay, period. I can't do that today.
Yeah.
Not today.
Not today.
Not today.
Not today.
Hashtag not today. Yeah.
So we do want to leave you with a couple of obtainable goals that you can use to...
any of these.
Yeah, sorry. We just want to help you kind of like, okay, great. If you want to get out of making excuses, if you want to get in the habit of making productivity happen in your life, set small obtainable goals. And it doesn't have to be anything groundbreaking. It's not like if you want to run a 5K, the first thing you have to do is get out the door.
Right.
It's one foot in front of the other. Don't put a time limit on how far you have to run. Just go. Even if it's walking, walk for 10 minutes and be done. And tomorrow, walk for 11. And then the next day, walk for 12. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, when you feel like running, run. And the days that you don't feel like running, walk. It just happens. It's actions. Actions will always produce results. I didn't make that up. That's a real thing. It's actions produce results.
Science,
yes.
People.
Yeah, science.
Like making your bed, like you said.
Yes. Or, if you're one thing, I mean, this is something I do every day, and my house is a shit show 9 times out of 10, but you can walk into my bedroom and my bed is always made.
It's a true story. I'm over a house a lot and it's always made. And
it's that one thing that I'm like, if nothing else gets done today, at least I know that my bed is made. And
even if you make it at 6 p.m., by the way, folks, I think that's still a success.
Yeah.
So even if you make it to get in it, just maybe just make it.
Just make it.
And then you check that box. And then your goal was
achieved. Yes, you're going to check it. I think accountability, having somebody that you can take a journey with is awesome. But even just having, even if it's a social media friend that you guys, you know, might live in different cities or different states and you're like, you know what, we're going to do this together. Do it because it's more fun when you have a partner so that if you do fail and you fall down, your friend is there to help you and pick you back up. And same thing, she's going to need that in return. So be there for her and expect her to fail. And it's okay if she does. Don't harp on it. Don't judge her for it. Just be there. Offer a hand to pick her back up and say, girl, we got this. We're going to make our bed in the morning and we're going to keep going.
Yeah. And don't let the other person live in the excuses.
Yes.
That's a big one.
Hold them accountable. Of like, is this an excuse today? Like your shoelace broke and you can't walk? Bullshit. Yeah. Let's go. You got another pair of shoes. Yeah. I see them. Let's go.
I saw them in your picture you posted last night. Mm-hmm. Get them on.
Get them on.
Let's go. Let's go.
And those mental check-ins, like check in mentally, like where are you with this?
This one's huge for me. Yeah. I do this all the time. I do. Yes, I do. I mental check-in all the time. Like, where am I feeling this today? How am I going to do this? Journaling has helped a lot. So there's a numerous notebooks in my house, like mini ones, and my kids take them over all the time. But you'll see like sentences or one lines or even paragraphs written down. But really feeling like, okay, this is where I'm at. So I encourage that. Mm-hmm. Even keeping the notebook in your car.
Oh, that's a good one. Do you journal like first thing in the morning or when do you find, or just whenever it happens?
Just whenever it happens. Like, okay. I'll think of something or I'll read something and it spawns like a feeling, you know. So, I mean, I've always kind of loved mentally checking in, and I think that that's just for something over the past year it's been better. So I love that, but just don't get lost in it.
Yeah.
Don't get lost in like the trails and so really make it short. Set a time to where you want to do it, maybe 5 minutes, set a timer, and then because then it can get so big.
I've got this new journal that I found that I absolutely love, and it's on one page, it's 1 week, and it's called a dawn and dusk journal. So it gives you like a place to put the week, and then there's a column for the dawn and a column for the dusk, and it's only 2 lines in each spot for 7 days. So I'm like, this is perfect for me because it's the first thing I do. Well, not the first thing I do, but before the crazy starts to stir in my house, like I write down just like a couple things, whether it's being grateful or like whatever it is. And then at night I check back in and, you know, fill in what happened or just a couple words
That's
of what
amazing.
Happened. And it's been great because it's easy. And there are times where I'm like, oh, I want to expand on this, and I will. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, this is my kind of journaling. Like, give me a little bit and I'm done.
Yeah.
And here, bit, and then bit. I feel accomplished and I can check my journal and, you know, check that box. And my obtainable goal is done.
You know what? One thing about, and before we wrap up, one thing about journaling that's really cool. Don't think it has to be perfect.
Yes.
It can be the most random thought. Sometimes mine is bullet points. Yes. I live my life sometimes in lists.
Yeah.
And it can be like ramblings of bullet points.
Yes.
And then like there's arrows and there's stars and there's things going mm-hmm. back to it. So it almost looks like a weird Zen diaphragm.
You know, yes.
Like those like Venn diagrams.
Yeah.
And there's like stars and... I'm telling you.
Oh my gosh.
Don't live in those worlds of writing in a complete sentence.
Because the first couple years that I journaled, and I've journaled for a long time, I imagined like if I died and somebody read my journals, like, and they were going to read them out loud, I wanted them to sound like these massive, no. like, you know, beautiful
People
thoughts.
People think I'm a psychopath by mine.
Pretty much. Like, I mean, now as I'm older and I'm like, it does. It looks like a grocery list of like...
bullet points.
Bullet yes. points. And I'm like yes. circling things, crossing things
circling
out.
Circling things.
I've got doodles.
Pictures.
I mean, yeah. Now it's just, it's way different.
I know.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So promise me you won't read this on my deathbed. Like, it won't make
no,
any
it'll
sense.
No, it'll be like, it would be like vegan tacos with sweet potatoes. I fucking hate Kroger.
You know, like, Kroger.
Right.
Which we don't hate
We love Kroger.
Kroger.
We love Kroger. Kroger.
Yes.
I love Kroger. I just like... You know, just these random thoughts. It's mine are nuts.
Yeah,
absolutely nuts. And I didn't know that about you. See, onions, people, onions. Switch all this together.
It's awesome.
Well, this has been a super, super, super fun. Oh, what's our questions for?
That's a good one.
I got one for you.
Okay, if you could travel with one item,
only one item,
what would it be?
Are we assuming there's no electricity? I just need to know the confines.
Just traveling.
Just me.
Just you.
What would I bring?
What would you bring?
I don't think, I don't want to say obvious phone. I'm just going to put, I'm mm-hmm. going to say no technology. Okay. All right. First thing that pops into my mind.
First thing. Rapid fire. What is it?
I mean, first thing that pops in my mind was like, paper and pen, but I guess yeah. because we were just talking about journaling. But if I didn't just go there, I would probably have to say lip gloss.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because
yeah.
I'm like, I gotta maintain something. I know,
that moisture has to be there.
Yeah, I'm like, what if I'm in the sun? Mm-hmm. Or the elements? I need to make sure that my lips are protected. That's the first thing I went to. So
mine is my vinyasa scarf from Lululemon. Like I travel with that thing everywhere. And but that for me is one of those because it can be a pillow. I've made it into a beach cover up.
Yeah, you did.
When my luggage didn't make it with me on my last vacation. It can be a blanket, which I've used it before. If you get too much sun, you can still be outside and cover yourself up. And I mean, it can be a hood.
It can be a hood.
Even you're cold, wrap up in it. I love it. I love that thing. It is a multi-purpose.
I think I got
companion.
One for Christmas. I have two now. Mm-hmm. And they're warm as hell.
They're great. I love them. I won't leave home without it when I travel.
Okay, I got one question for you.
Okay.
Besides brushing your teeth, I know this is what you'd say. What's the first thing you do in the morning? Besides check your phone and brush your teeth, because I know those are the two things you do. What is the...
Oh, God, I pee like a racehorse. I mean, I have like the...
No, she doesn't. No, it's a turtle pee.
Well, okay. I am a very long peer, exceptionally. Like, think Mike Myers when he comes out of being frozen in Austin Powers. Like, that is the kind of peer that I am, a very long pee in the morning. So I check my phone, I brush my teeth, and I pee. And that is...
And then 10 minutes later, she leaves the bathroom. It's crazy.
It's true. Very long time.
What about you? Oh, mine is... I mean, it's kind of obvious. Besides going to the bathroom and checking my phone, it's making my coffee, which is the... Like, I almost would like run to the coffee pot if I could. Like, sometimes I'm like, well, do I have to do that first? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's all about the warm mug. Yeah, kind of obvious, but you know,
that's
creatures of habit.
Okay,
this has been super fun, guys.
It's been great. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you guys next episode.